The OU on its website has a program. I don't know if it's still in existence, but it's called The Sleepless Sermon. So the topic that we would like to discuss today is a sermon that was given by Rabbi Akiva. We find it in the Medrash, and this has to do, as we'll see, with Megillas Esther, which we just celebrated on Purim. And Rabbi Akiva's sermon we could call, based on the Medrash, the sleepy sermon, where people did fall asleep. So this prompted me to speak on this subject. And let us begin with the Medrash. The Medrash tells us in Parshas Chayesara, Rabbi Akiva hoya yoyshe v'dayrish. Rabbi Akiva was giving a shir, v'hatzibur misnamnim, and the people who were listening to the shir began to fall asleep. Bikesh lo oiruron, so he wanted to wake them up. Omar, ma roasa Esther, shatim lechal sheva v'esther memeh medina. What caused Esther to be a queen over 127 lands? Ella tovoy Esther, shahoysa, bas bito shel sora. Let Esther come. She was a descendant of Sora Imenu. Shechoysa kuf chav zayin shana. And Sora lived for 127 years. Vitim loich al kuf chav zayin medinas. And therefore she should be a queen over 127 countries. So it's a beautiful gematria. Sora lived for 127 years, as it says in the Chumash. And Esther was a queen exactly over 127 lands. But obviously there's a deeper idea over here connecting Esther to Sora besides the numerical value of 127. So we want to discover what is that deeper connection. Secondly, we have to understand in this Medrash, how was it possible that people were listening to Rabbi Akiva and they fell asleep? We find the Gemara tells us in Menachos that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, he was shown by Hashem the great tzaddikim and gedolim of each generation. And one of them was Rabbi Akiva. And he saw that Rabbi Akiva was darshaning al kol koitz v'koitz tilin shel halachas. On every one of the crowns, there are certain letters in the Torah that have crowns, and Rabbi Akiva was explaining the little crowns there on top of the letters, and he was piling up piles and piles of halachas on each crown. And it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was listening to Rabbi Akiva's shir. He didn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Yesh l'cha adam kazeh, v'ata noisen Torah al yadi. You have such a great gadol like Rabbi Akiva. In other shiurim, we explained that in certain aspects, Rabbi Akiva was even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. And this Gemara here would seem to indicate that Moshe couldn't understand the Torah that Rabbi Akiva was telling the people. Moshe said to Hashem, why am I the shliach, the messenger, to give over the Torah to Klal Yisrael? You have Rabbi Akiva. That's how great Rabbi Akiva was. The Gemara says that all of the Torah Shebal Peh, that the oral Torah that we learn today, traces itself back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had a number of Talmidim, and all those Talmidim got their Torah Shebal Peh from Rabbi Akiva. He's the source of all Torah Shebal Peh. So this great Rabbi Akiva, imagine if he came to one of our shuls and there was an announcement, Rabbi Akiva, the Tana is coming to give a shir. Is it possible that people would actually fall asleep when he spoke? Very difficult to comprehend. So let's leave these questions on the side, and during the course of the shir, Emir Tashem, they will be answered. Now actually, this shir is a repeat of something that I said before. The reason I wanted to repeat it is two reasons. Number one, because there's something new that I'd like to add, and we find in the Gemara that the Gemara asks, why is this repeated? We learned it already. The Gemara answers, because of the new idea that is developed, and that's a cause to repeat the rest of the shir. The second reason I'm repeating it is because I saw an article in Hamodia paper, newspaper, Monday of this week. It's in a column by Dov Finkelstein. The column is entitled "The Therapist Is In," and the name of the article is "Coping with Stress, Part 5." And the name is "This Too Is for the Best." And in this article, Dov Finkelstein seems to say one thing, which we can't say is incorrect, because he has the Orcha Sadikim, Sefer of Musar. We don't know exactly who the author of the Orcha Sadikim is, but in the Orcha Sadikim, I found that he says Dov Finkelstein is correct based on the Orcha Sadikim. However, we would just like to mention that according to the Baal Shem Tov, there's a whole different explanation, and that's why I want to elaborate this. It just happened to be that this column appeared this week, so I'd like to elaborate on it. Finally, for a change, instead of speaking about last week's Parsha, we'll have a connection to Parsha's Kisisa, which is the current Parsha of this week. And now let us begin with the Dover Chiddush that I want to add. And this is based on a Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, V'omer Rab Chama v'Rab Chanina, Mai Dechsiv, that what it says in the Torah, Achri Hashem Alekechem Teleichu, you should follow Hashem. And the question is, V'chi Efshel Eladim L'Halach Achar Shechina, could a person actually go walk behind Hashem? V'aloi Kfar Nemer, Ki Hashem Alekecha Eish Oichlu, Hashem is a fire, and he consumes. Ella, what does it mean to walk behind Hashem? Lahalech achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not physically to walk behind Hashem, but to follow in the footsteps of Hashem, to emulate the character traits of Hashem. And the Gemara gives four examples. Mahu malbish arumim, afato halbesh arumim. Just like Hashem clothes the naked, he gives clothes to people. So you too, you should give clothes to people who don't have clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim, afato baker cholim. Hashem visits the sick, you too should be mevaker cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nicham aveilim, if somebody loses a relative, Hashem comforts that person. Afato nachem aveilim, you too should comfort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kover mesim, Hashem buries the dead. Afatok for Mesim, you should be osik in the mitzvah, the chesed shel emes, the true kindness of burying someone who died. And on all of these four inyanim, the Gemara brings a pasuk to prove that Hashem does it. And this is the famous rule of mahu af ata. Just like Hashem does it, man should follow Hashem's example. So, what struck me, this is the new thought that I want to present to you, that even though we have four examples here, I believe that there's only three of the four that we can actually do. We can be malbish arumim, we can be mevaker cholim, we can be kover mesim, that we could do like Hashem. However, the fourth one, which is nichum aveilim, comforting the mourners, that we're not able to do. So the question is, what do you mean we're not able to do it? First of all, we're Menachem Avil. And secondly, the Gemara tells us, just like Hashem does it, you should do it. So what do I mean we can't do it? So the answer, I believe, is, and that's what we're going to develop in this year, that there are two kinds of Nichum. There's a higher Nichum and a lower Nichum. Or what actually, correctly, we should say, there is a Nichum, what the Torah calls nichum aveilim, and then there's a nichum, a comfort, which the rabbis, when they speak about nichum aveilim, that's what they're referring to. So the ones that the rabbis speak about, that we can do. The ones that the Torah speaks about, the pure nichum aveilim, the highest form of nichum aveilim, that I believe, for at least for normally and for most people, it's impossible for a human being to do that nichum. And that's what we want to develop in this year. There was a great Tana Eloki, a great Tana whose name was Nochum Ish Gamzu. And it would seem that Nochum had to do with Nichum Avelim, with Nechama. His name Nachum, in that name you have the same shorish as the word Nechama. So we want to develop what does Nachum have to do with Nechama. And what was his name? His name was Gamzu L'Toiva. We'll soon see the story in the Gemara where Nachum showed this midah of always saying whatever happened to him, as the article here in the Hamodiyah quotes from Nachum Ish Gamzu, this too is for the best. Gamzu L'Toiva. The question I once heard at a Simcha, the Baal Simcha asked, he was speaking and he asked the question, why was Nachum's name called Gamzu? He should have been called Nachum Ish Gamzu L'Toiva. The expression that he said in full is Gamzu L'Toiva. This too is for the good. Whatever happens bad, this too is for the good. So why was that not his name? Why are we stopping at the word L'Toiva and we just call him Nachum Ish Gamzu? What's the reason for that? That was the question. And what we also would like to develop is there a connection between Nachum, the first part of his name, and Gamzu, the second part of his name? Are they related? And I believe, as we'll develop, that they are related. Now, Nachum was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. We find in the Gemara, Masechta Shavuos Daf Chavav, Chagiga Yud Beis, the Gemara says the following statement. Shol Rabbi Yishmol asked Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmol asked Rabbi Akiva a certain question. We're not going to get involved in what the question was. But this is what he said to Rabbi Akiva when he asked the question. Ata, you Rabbi Akiva, shimashta es Nachum Ish Gamzu Chaf Beis Shana. You served. You learnt by Nachum Ish Gamzu for 22 years. I have a question to ask you, whatever the question was. We see clearly from this Gemara that Nachum was not Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe for a year. He probably was his Rebbe Muvak, which means the Rebbe that had the most profoundest influence on Rabbi Akiva's life. He was his Rebbe for 22 years. So if that is correct, that he was the great Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, we have a problem. What's the problem? Because just like Nachum said, Gamzu L'Toiva, Rabbi Akiva said it also. The problem is Rabbi Akiva said it a little differently than his Rebbe Nachum. And the question is, we find in the Mishnah, in Masechta Idiyos, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, Chayiv Odom Loimer Beloshen Raboy. A person has to say over a something that he heard from his Rebbe precisely exactly the same language that his Rebbe used. If he's quoting his Rebbe, he has to say it precisely. And yet Rabbi Akiva and Nachum did not say it the same way. And that's the question. Why didn't Rabbi Akiva say it exactly like his Rebbe? He learned by him 22 years. Why didn't he say it exactly like his Rebbe? Now, where do we find that they said it differently? So let's begin with Rabbi Akiva. The story of Rabbi Akiva is found, a famous story, Brachas Daf Samach Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Lo oilom ye adam rogu loimer kol da'ovid rachmana latav ovid. A person should always be used to saying, in Aramaic, but it's the same in Hebrew, whatever Hashem does to me is for the good. Ki hod Rabbi Akiva. Like the following story of Rabbi Akiva. He was once going to a city, he was going on the way, and he wanted to sleep overnight in one of the houses in the city. He banged on every house in the city to get entrance, and everyone refused him entrance. So he had no option, he had to go into the desert, in the forest. So when that happened, not one Jew, apparently these were Jews, not one Jew in the city would let him in. So he said, Kol ma David Rachmana, latav avid, it must have a good purpose. He had with him a rooster, that was his alarm clock. He had a candle, and he had a donkey. So a wind came and blew out the candle. A fox came and ate up the rooster. It says a cat came and ate up the rooster, and a lion came and ate up the donkey. On everything that happened to him, he said, Kol ma David Rachmana latav ovid. At that night, a marauding band of robbers plundered the city. They took all the people, the inhabitants of the city, into captivity. And when Rabbi Akiva found out about it, he said to his students, Lav Amri Lechu, didn't I always tell you? Kol ma she'oisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKol L'Toivo. Whatever Hashem does is for the good, which is the Hebrew translation of the Aramaic, Kol ma da'ovid rachmano l'tav ovid. The question is, why did Rabbi Akiva say it different than Nachum? What did Nachum say? So let's see the story with Nachum. The story with Nachum is found in the Gemara in Tainis of Chof Aleph. The Gemara says that Zimna Chada, one time, the Jews wanted to send a gift to the Caesar. Because apparently the Caesar wanted to make a certain law against the Jewish people. So they wanted to bribe the Caesar that he shouldn't enact this law. They said, who should represent the Jewish people by the Caesar? They said, you know what? Nachum Ish Gamzu should represent, because he's used to miracles happening to him. So if in case there's any problem, a miracle will happen and he'll get saved. So they gave him a box full of precious stones, gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, sapphires, etc. He slept overnight in an inn, and while he was sleeping, the innkeepers went through his box, and they saw all this gold and silver and diamonds. They emptied it out into their safe, and they filled up the box with earth from their backyard. Nachum comes to the Caesar. He says, here, your majesty, is a present from the Jewish people. And he opens it up, and he sees a box full of earth. So he immediately, he wanted to kill out all the Jews. He said, "Kamachaycha bi Yudoi, the Jews are mocking me." What was Nachum's reaction? Omar gam zu l'toiva. This is also for the good. The Gemara says that Eliyahu Hanavi came dressed up like one of the officers of the king, and he said to the Caesar, maybe this is not, this is worth more than gold and silver and diamonds. This is the special earth of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu used it in the fight when the four kings fought against the five kings. And five kings were defeated by the four kings. And then Avram tried to save Lot, which he did. And he used this earth. When you would throw this earth, it would become arrows and swords and spears, and it defeated the enemy. So the king said, okay, I have a battle with a certain army is against me, and it's a very tough battle. Let me see if it works. They tried it in the battle. It worked, and he defeated the enemy. So as a reward, instead of killing Nachum, here's the nest that happened to Nachum. Instead of killing him, he filled up not only one box, but a whole trunk full of precious diamonds, much more than he had brought to the king. And Nachum goes back. He stops at the same inn, and they see the honor that was bestowed. They thought they would bring Nachum back in a coffin. And instead, he's full of much more gold and silver than he went with. They said, you know, what happened? So he told them, I don't know what happened. I just know whatever I took from here, I brought there. So they said, oh, we must have magical earth. So they raised down their whole inn, and they got all the earth, and they filled up wagons and wagons full of earth, and they went to the king, and they said, you just got a box full. Here we have the whole lot full of earth. They tried it in another war. This time it didn't work, obviously, and the king's army was defeated, and as a result, they got killed. That was their reward for bringing this bogus earth to the king. So, and on this, Nachum, during the whole story, kept on saying, Gam zu l'toiva. So the question that is asked is, why did Rabbi Akiva change from his Rebbe? It's similar, but it's different. He didn't use the words Gam zu l'toiva. He said, Kol ma da'ovid rachmano l'tav ovid. Didn't I tell you that Kol ma she'oisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu hakol l'toiva? But he didn't say the words Gam zu l'toiva. This is the question. Now, in this article in Amodia, it equates the two things. It's like the same thing. They don't see any distinction. And the truth is, as I mentioned before, the Orchis Sadikim, I saw, brings down both Chazal of Rabbi Kiva and Nochum and says it's the exact same thing. Whatever bad happens to a person, it's for good, same thing. But the question still is, if in fact it's the same thing, it makes it even stronger, the question, because we'll soon see it's two different things, and we'll see a reason why Rabbi Kiva didn't say, like Nochum is Rabbi. But if you say it's exactly the same thing, so why didn't Rabbi Kiva say it in the syntax, in the language, exactly the way his Rabbi said? He should have said, Gam Zula Taiva, when the wind blew out the candle, and when the cat ate up the rooster. All of these things would have betrayed Rabbi Akiva's whereabouts. He would have got captured by the same robbers, and Hashem made it that they didn't hear the donkey, the rooster, they didn't see the light, and Rabbi Akiva was saved. So why didn't he use the exact same words, Gam Zula Taiva? So the answer to this question is found in the Sefer Shiurei Shabbos from Rav Miller of Geitza, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and he brings the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says there's a distinct difference. It's not the same, like the Orchis Sadikim says. It's two different things. Gamzu L'Tayv is different than Kol Ma De'Ovid Rachmano L'Tav Ovid. When Rabbi Kiva said, Kol Ma She'Oisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKoy L'Tayva, he meant that when the wind blew out the candle, that's bad. When the lion ate up the donkey, that's bad. However, it had a good purpose, like we see in the end, because he got saved from the robbers. Nochum was on a higher level. Nochum's level was Gam Zula Taiva. This, which it appears, when the box was full of earth, and it looked like the end of Nochum, he's going to be killed, and all the Jews are going to be killed, because they're making fun of the Caesar. Nochum says no. Gam zu l'tayva. It's not bad for the purpose of good. There is no bad. It is good itself. That's the madrega of Nochum. And the commentaries explain that a mushel of a person who doesn't know anything about silver, his friend is a multimillionaire in the silver business. He says, you want to take a tour of my company? He comes in, he sees silver being put into a furnace, being burnt, and out comes refined silver. So he thinks to himself, how do you take a metal and burn it in a furnace? But I don't know, my friend is a multimillionaire from silver, he must know what he's doing. So that is the case of Emunah. We believe. He trusts his friend. He must know what he's doing. He doesn't understand it. But let's say you have a connoisseur in silver, a man who's been working with silver all his life. He knows that if you want to take silver and you want to refine it and make the most, get the most bang for the buck, to make the silver worth more than it would be if it's not refined, the way to do it is to put it in the fire. Then you get a more precious metal. It takes out all the impurities. So that's not a muna, that's yediya. That he knows that's the way that silver becomes worth a precious metal. So the same thing. Rabbi Akiva, you know why Rabbi Akiva didn't say like his Rebbe? He couldn't say like his Rebbe. Because Rabbi Akiva was not on the level of his Rebbe. He couldn't say something that he wasn't holding by. Normally, Rabbi Akiva would say everything precisely like his Rebbe. But to say Gamzu L'Toyva would mean that I don't see it as bad. I know that this is good. That only his Rebbe was on that level. In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch, what are we supposed to do when Chas V'Shalom of something that appears to us to be bad from Hashem? We know that from Hashem nothing bad comes out. Everything good is from Hashem. But when it looks to us like it's bad, what should our reaction be? It says in Shulchan Aruch, Kol ma de'ovid rachmana letav ovid. It does not say that we have to say gamzu letaiva. We don't have to be on Nochum's level. That's something for great tzaddikim. We'll soon see. Sara Imenu was on that level. But Rabbi Akiva was not on the level. He saw it as something bad. He understood that bad has a good purpose at the end. He had emunah. He had faith that Hashem does everything good. But he didn't have the yediyah. He didn't have the knowledge and the certainty that this itself, gamzu l'tayva, this also is good. There is no bad. It's not bad for a good purpose, but the bad itself is good. He wasn't on that madrega. We're not expected to be on that madrega, but we are expected to be on the madrega of Rabbi Akiva, that even though it looks bad, it has a good purpose. So we've already answered the question of why Rabbi Akiva did not say the same thing as his Rebbe. And we also have explained what we also want to explain the second question. The second question was, why wasn't Nachum's name Nachum Ish Gamzu Lataiva? Why did it stop at Nachum Ish Gamzu? What happened to Lataiva? So the answer is, because the difference between Rabbi Akiva and his Rebbe Nachum was not in the word Lataiva. They both used the word Lataiva. If you listen to Rabbi Akiva, he uses Lataiva. Kol ma she'ois HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol Lataiva. He also used it. Nachum said, Gamzu Lataiva. So they're both using the word Lataiva. The reason Nachum's name was Gamzu is to underline that the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Nachum is not in the word Lataiva. It's in the Gamzu. What does it mean? Once you have the Gamzu, then the Lataiva takes on a different meaning. Rabbi Akiva, who looks at bad, that it's bad, but it has a good purpose. So Lataiva means the bad will eventually end up as something good. It's Lataiva. It's for a good purpose. By Nachum Ish Gamzu, there Lataiva means that there is no bad. Gamzu Lataiva means that if you have a bad column and a good column, which column does this go? The answer is everything goes into the good column. There is no bad column in the way Nachum looks at things in the world. Gamzu Litaiva means not bad for a good purpose, but Litaiva means this is in the good column because there is only one column. There's not two columns. It's not a bad column and a good column. It's all Litaiva. It's all in the good column. So it doesn't mean bad for the purpose of good. It means it's all good. So it's to underline that the difference between Rabbi Akiva and his Rebbe Nachum was in this concept of Gamzu. His name wasn't Gamzu Lataiva. Lataiva Rabbi Akiva used also. But don't get mixed up between the Lataiva of Rabbi Akiva and the Lataiva of Nachum, because they mean two separate things. What's the key that shows us the difference? Underline Gamzu. The words Gamzu explain that Lataiva is not for a good purpose, but Lataiva means it's only good. So that answers that question. The only thing we need remains to be answered is there a connection between the Nachum's first name, Nachum, and his last part, Gamzu? And I believe there is a very strong connection. In fact, Nachum, the way we're going to explain, and Gamzu are identically the same. And this is based on a fantastic thought of Rav Schwab, Rav Shimon Schwab Zitzel, in his Sefer, Mind Beis HaSheva. And this is connected to this week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisisa. Rav Schwab says there are two types of Nechama. There is the Nechama, which the Torah uses the word Nechama, as we say, we lain this on Parsh Kisisa, but we also lain it by every Tainus Tzibur. We just had Tainus Esther. We lain this pasuk in the Parsha of Vayichal. The words are Vihi Nochem Alaro La Mecha. Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem after the Chet of the Egel, don't destroy Klal Yisrael, but rather be Menachem on the evil that you want to do to your people. Rashi says, what's the word Vihi Nochem mean? Hasosas machshav acheres lahetiv lahem alorola mecha. You wanted to do bad to them. I'm pleading with you, Hashem, turn yourself around 180 degrees that you should now have only a good thought. Nechama means to take something bad and turn it all the way around. That's one nechama. There's another nechama, says Rav Schwab, a lesser degree nechama, and that's divrei pius. That's when you comfort someone. and you give them encouragement, and you tell them it's not so bad, the bad has a good purpose. All these kinds of words that what we call comforting someone is not telling them that the bad is good, but rather, don't feel so bad, there's a good purpose. That's soothing them down, calming their nerves, giving them comfort. Those are two different things. By Yosef and his brothers, we see both things. When after Yaakov died, the brothers were afraid that Yosef is going to take revenge against them. So the pasuk says, "Vayinachem oisam, vayidaber al libam." He was menachem them, and he spoke to their hearts. How was he menachem them? He said the following: Atem chashavtum alai ra, elokim chashva l'toiva. The word l'toiva. Leman asoi kayoim azeh l'hachyos amrov. Hashem knew that there's going to be a hunger, so Hashem, in order to prevent that you should go hungry, Hashem made this whole story that I should be brought down to Mitzrayim to save you from hunger. So Yosef is telling the brothers, "Vayinachem Yosef, what you feel is bad is really not bad. Every step of the way that I was brought down till I became the second in the kingdom to Paroi, that was all every step. Instead of thinking of it as bad, every step was good because that's how I became the second to the king, and that's how now I saved you from hunger." Then Yosef added, "Va'ata now al tiro, don't be afraid. Onoich yachalkal eschem estapchem. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to take revenge on you that Yaakov our father died, but rather I'm going to support you. Don't worry." That's words of comfort. So Yosef did both. He spoke to them words of comfort, and he also told them what you did turned out it wasn't bad. Everything was good. The whole thing, every step of the way, vayinachem. As Rashi explains in this week's Parsha, turning around from bad, 180 degrees around, till it's good. And if this is so, I'd like to suggest, when Hashem sends the Nevi'im, that we read seven Haftorahs, which are called Shiva de Nechemta, the seven Haftorahs of Nechama after the Churban Habayis. So we're all familiar, we know it's called Shabbos Nachamu because of the Haftorah. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami Yomar Lekechem. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim. This is Rav Schwab's two parts of Nechama. The Nevi'im got a double mission. One mission was Dabru Alev, soothe the Bnei Yisrael, comfort them from all the tzoros that they went through. And then they had another mission, Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Nachamu means what you went through was not bad, everything was good. When the Meforshim explained that if you take the first pasuk of each of the seven Haftorahs, there's a message. The message is that the Nevi'im came to the Bnei Yisrael, they offered them Nechama, the Jews refused to accept the Nechama. V'toyim retzin azavani Hashem, v'Hashem shechechoni. Hashem forgot me. He's sending us messengers to comfort us. They can't comfort us. The Nevi'im were unable. The Nevi'im were able to soothe them, to comfort them. Divrei pius. The Dabru Alev, that mission, they succeeded. You suffered, had a good purpose, but to tell them that all their suffering was not bad, it was good, they couldn't accept it from the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im themselves might have been on the Madreig of Nachamish Gamzu, but they couldn't give it over to the Bnei Yisrael for them to accept. The Nevi'im came back to Hashem and said, "Aniya se'ara loy nuchama. She's not accepting the nuchama from us. Only you, Hashem, can be menachem." So Hashem says in another first pasuk of another Haftorah, "Anoichi, anoichi hu menachemchem." Okay, I'm going to be the one myself, because no human mortal can be menachem and tell you what you suffered, the bad is really good. So what I'd like to suggest is that the two beautiful thoughts here of the Baal Shem Tov and Rav Schwab are really the same thing. The Baal Shem Tov said there's a difference between Gamzu L'Toiva and Kol Mada Ovid Rachmana L'Tav Ovid. There's a difference between Rabbi Kiva and Nochum. That difference is the same difference of Rav Schwab between what's called Nechama and words of comfort. When Rabbi Akiva would say, whatever Hashem does has a good purpose, that's not Nechama of the Torah. This is what I said in the beginning of the shir. There's two nechamas. One nechama a human being can't do. The nechama to tell an avel who lost a relative, what you lost, that's good. The avel will hit him with a baseball bat. How could you say what I suffered now is good, right? But to say there must be a good purpose, I happen to hear Mrs. Rubashkin, whose husband is in a county jail in Iowa, I heard her saying that Hashem must have a big plan. What my husband is going through, it's unbelievable what he's suffering through. There must be a big plan. That's kol ma da'ovid rachmano l'tavov. It must have, we don't know what it is yet. It must have some good purpose down the line. But for a person to accept real nechama, divrei pius, dabru alev Yerushalayim, that we can accept from another human being. But for a human being to tell us what you are suffering is really good, that we can. That's why when we're Menachem Avol, we say, Hamakoyim Yenachem Eschem, B'soich Shara Velitzim Yerushalayim. The same thing with Yerushalayim. Can someone say the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Holocaust, the Inquisition, the Chelmenitsky, Stalin Yimach Shemay, Hitler Yimach Shemay, the ghettos, the Star of David, everything that the Jews suffered, thousands of years of murder of innocent people, can anyone say that, yes, this is good, it's not bad for a good purpose, I feel it's good itself. That there's only a Nachum Ish Gamzu on that level. We normal people, we can't come to that level. So Hashem one day will be able to be Menachem us and say that the bad was actually good. So we say to the Avol, Hamakim Yenachem Eschem. The real Nechama will come from Hashem. He should comfort you. Bishar Aveil Tzion Yerushalayim. Just like one day Hashem will give Nechama to the mourners over Tzion and Yerushalayim. And then we'll see that the bad is actually good. That's what should happen to you. Me, right now, I can give you Nechama. The Gemara says, just like Hashem is Menachem, you should be Menachem. What the Gemara means is Hashem is Menachem the highest way, that the bad itself is good. What you can do as a human being is to try to comfort the Avol and to say it must have some good purpose. Give divrei pius dabru alev, that we can do. That's what the Gemara means. We should copy Hashem. But the ultimate nechama we can't do. So that's the chiddush that I wanted to say in this year, that there's two kinds of nechama. One we can do and one we can't do. The nechama of the Torah, when the Torah speaks of nechama, we can't do. The nechama of dabru alev, soothing words of comfort, that we could do and that we're obligated to do to be Menachem Avol in that sense, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we come back to the story of the sleepy sermon. In the sleepy sermon of Rabbi Akiva, I wanted to say that we'll see there are three stories that in each of these stories we see Rabbi Akiva looked at bad, that it had a good purpose. Not like his Rebbe, that the bad itself was good. So the first story is the one with the donkey, the light and the rooster. He said bad has a good purpose. The second story is the sleepy sermon. So there's a sefer, Yalkut Yehuda, a rav, I think his name was Rabbi Ginsburg, he was a rav in Denver, Colorado. He also wrote the sefer Musar HaNeviim on Navi. So he says a beautiful pshat here. He says, how could the people fall asleep, we asked? And what's the connection, 127, between Sarah and Esther? So he says like this, they weren't falling asleep from his shir. Rabbi Akiva comes to say a shir, so usually at this point when I give this shir, I say I hope the people are not falling asleep in my shir. But when Rabbi Akiva, to wake everybody up a little bit. But when Rabbi Akiva gave a shir, we don't have to worry that anybody was sleeping. Everybody is wide awake. They're drinking in the words of wisdom of Rabbi Akiva. But what it means, says the Al Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva was trying to wake up the people who in their daily lives were sleeping. They weren't sleeping because of the shir. There's a whole different meaning in sleeping. They were suffering terrible persecution. Rabbi Akiva himself would eventually give up his life He was killed, one of the Asara Haruge Malchus was killed at Kiddush Hashem. The Jews at the time of Andrianus Caesar and the other Roman kings were brutal against the Jews. So the Jews said, what's going on here? We're suffering so much. We can't bear it anymore. What's the purpose of all this? So Rabbi Akiva is Yoshev and Irish. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva is like we said, the whole source of Torah Shabbat. He is darshening on every crown of the letters of the Torah, Tillim Shalachas. He's vibrant, wide awake. But the people of his generation were falling asleep. They were depressed. They were suffering. And he tried to give them a chizik to wake them up. So he said, look at Esther. She was 127 years, 27 lions, the queen. You know why? Because Sarah was 127 years, and the Pasuk says, Rashi brings down, Kulon Shavin Latoiva. They were all equal. What she suffered, unbelievable, from Paroi and from Avimelech and Hagar and Yishmael, and she was an Akorah, she couldn't have children. All the suffering that she went through in her life, and all that suffering, because one day it had a good purpose. In her schus, her great-great-granddaughter Esther was a queen over 127 lands. So you see that when someone suffers, it eventually has a good purpose. So here's the second example. You're suffering, you Jews are suffering now, but it has some good purpose. So this is the second example of Rabbi Akiva, something bad, which eventually has a good purpose. We want to point out that Sarah herself was on the Madrega of Nachum. Kulon Shavin Latoiva means Gamzu Latoiva. It's not using those words, but that's what it means. Everything is equal. There's no day in her life that one was a better day than the other. Everyone was Toif. Everyone is in the good column of Latoiv. Hashem only does good to me. Whatever I suffer, that's not suffering. I know that this is how the silver becomes refined. I know it's good. I don't have belief, but I know it's good. That's the Madrega of Sarah. Rabbi Akiva wasn't on that level. But at least he tried to wake the people up. The bad has a good purpose. The third story is the famous story in the Gemara in the end of Masechta Makkos, where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lozab and Azari and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, they came to Yerushalayim, and they came to the Mount Scopus, Har Tzofim. They tore their clothing. They saw the churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And when they came to the Har Abayis, they saw a fox that was running out from the Har Abayis. So Rabbi Akiva started crying, and everybody else Rabbi Akiva started laughing, and everybody else started crying. Why are you crying? Why are you laughing? How could you be laughing? Why we're crying? A place where it says that only the Kohen Gadol could come in Yom Kippur, and anybody else who went into Kodesh Kodashim would die, and here you have foxes running around. We shouldn't cry when we see such a thing. Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing. Because he brought down that we have in one pasuk a person who lived in Bayis Rishon, and a person who lived in Bayis Sheni, Uriah Kohen and Zechariah ben Yevrachio. How could you put them in one pasuk? They lived at different times in history. The answer is that one of them said that the Yerushalayim will be totally destroyed. The other one said that Oid Yeshu Zakanim is Zakanis Rechavish Yerushalayim, that there'll be rejuvenation, that there'll be old men and women sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. So until I saw the destruction, I didn't know if the nevuah of the rejuvenation of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim would take place. But now I see that one of them is took place. I know that the other one will take place as well. What was Rabbi Akiva saying? Rabbi Akiva was saying, this is bad. A fox is running is terrible, but eventually it's going to work out good. It has a good purpose. These are the three examples of Rabbi Akiva living. Kol ma David Rachmana letav Ovid. What did they say to Rabbi Akiva at the end? They said to him, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. They said it twice. Why did they say it twice? And then on the side, they bring from the Ayin Yaakov, there's another text here. It says, Hashem yinachameinu amen. God should give us nechama. What's going on here? The answer is, they said to Rabbi Akiva, you're telling us whatever Hashem does is for the good. There's a fox here, which is bad. But eventually, it's going to work out to the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. But you know what that is? We explained before. That's emunah. That's belief. I believe you that I have to put the silver into a fire to make it worth more. But I don't know it. I have to believe. Now, a person who believes in something can always have doubts. He always has to work on him having faith. That's why they told him twice, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. You gave us comfort, which, by the way, which comfort? Not the comfort of the Torah of Nechama, that bad is good, but you gave us a comfort of Dabru Alev. You're making us feel good. The bad of the fox will eventually turn out to the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. So I believe you, but if I believe you, you're going to have to constantly strengthen me in believing. When a person knows something, he knows it. If it's a fact, if it's one and one is two, you know it. There's nothing in the world that's going to budge you from that yediyah. Hashem yenachameinu amen. They prayed that Hashem, hamakoyim, yenachem eschem besoich shara velet Yerushalayim. We don't want just the nechama of emunah. We want to get the nechama of yediyah. We want to know that the bad is not for a good purpose, but the bad itself is good. Who is the one who can give us that? The only one is Hamakam Yenachem Eschem Esorach Shav Eretz Yerushalayim. Hashem Yenachem Eino Amen. We asked the question, does Nachem have to do with Gamzu? The answer is yes. Because Nachem means Nechama, that the bad is not bad, it itself is good. That's the exact same message of Gamzu L'Toiva. Because as we explained, Rabbi Akiva Kol Ma David Rachmana, that is equal to the Nechama of the lesser degree. Divrei Pius, Dabru Alev. Whatever Hashem does, even if it looks bad, has a good purpose. That's comforting a person. That's the lower level of nechama, the one that we're able to do. But the higher level of nechama is Gamzu L'Toiva, and that equals Rav Schwab's vort of nechama. That's what I said. Rav Schwab and the Baal Shem Tov are really saying the same thing in different words. There's two levels. The Baal Shem Tov calls it nechama. The Rav Shelftev calls it Gamzu L'Toiva, and whatever Hashem does is for the good, Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Schwab calls it Nechama and Dabru Alev. But really, it's the same, both are saying the exact same thing. And finally, and with this we close. Rav Schwab said that there's one chance where everyone will admit that it's not bad, but it is really good. You know when that is? In retrospect, when you could look back at something, then you could see that the bad wasn't bad, it was good. And with this here, and where do you find this in the Torah? By Yosef. Because Yosef was able to not only speak to his brothers, comfort them, don't worry, I'll take care of you. He was able to say, look, let's review what happened with me and you. You thought you were doing something bad to me by selling me to Mitzrayim. That turned out. So it comes out that the whole trip down to Mitzrayim, the way I came down and being thrown in prison and then becoming the second to the king. So everything that happened was actually good. It wasn't bad for a good purpose. It comes out, if we look at it in retrospect, every move came out to be good. So with this, Rav Schwab explains the pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, Ke'ish asher imoy tenachamenu. Like a man whose mother comforts him, Hashem says, that's how I'm going to give you comfort on Yerushalayim, on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Schwab asks, why is it ish? Why not a boy? That's usually more a mother would comfort a boy than a grown man, an ish. Why not nar? Kinar? And then why a mother? A father could also comfort. So Rav Schwab said, and the one who wrote this down in the Sefer Mayim Beisheva is a Rav in Muncie called Rav David Margaretin. He helped Rav Schwab write the Sefer, doing the actual physical writing. So he said that Rav Schwab said that this, what I'm going to say right now, this story was actually about Rav Schwab himself. When Rav Schwab was born, his mother went through terrible chavle leida. She was almost in labor. She was almost in the next world. She almost died in labor. And she went through terrible yisurim. Yisuri Gehenim when she gave birth to Rav Schwab. Later in life, Rav Schwab went through a period he had certain problems in his life. So, ke'ish, like a grown man, asher imoy tenach amenu, the mother will give him comfort, and she will say, not the lower type of comfort, she'll be able to say the higher comfort, meaning everything that I suffered when I gave birth to you. But now I see you became, Rav Schwab was one of the Gedolei Yisrael, one of the leaders of the Jewish people in the last generation. So I see that what I suffered, and I almost died in delivery, I see that it wasn't just for a good purpose. I see that was the smelt, that was the furnace that was burning out the silver and refining it so that you could become a great leader in the Jewish people. So that's the nechama to myself. And just like I give myself nechama of what I suffered, but look what happened. So I realized that my suffering itself was good. That's what caused you to be the gadol. So I don't look at it as something bad. I look at it, I would do it again. Because look what, as a result of it, I'm able to look in retrospect that what I suffered through itself is good. So too, what you're suffering through now in your life, Rav Schwab, one day you'll be able to look at a retrospect and you'll see that it itself is good, not for a good purpose, it itself. That's what the pasuk says. Ki'ish, like a grown man. Asher imoy tenach amenu, that his mother will give him comfort. The story that happened to Rav Schwab's mother herself and to Rav Schwab, Cain, says Hashem, anoichi anachemchem, ubishalayim tenachamu. Well, one day Hashem will show us that the bad that we suffered through all the generations, the Churban Beis Hamikdash and Auschwitz and everything we went through, it wasn't bad for good. It itself was good. And we'll see that with the coming of Mashiach. Amen.